Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. This is the broadcast for April 26th of the year of our Lord, 2022. This is hour two of two. And we've got Richard Barnett with us, ladies and gentlemen, nicknamed Big O. Guest interview continued with Richard Barnett. He was charged with 8 federal crimes, ladies and gentlemen. 4 of them misdemeanors, 4 of them supposedly felonies. Believe it or not, Mr. Barnett spent a total of 6 minutes in the Capitol building. Can you imagine that, ladies and gentlemen? You got more than a crime per minute going on, according to these thugs, if you ask. I mean, it is just hard to... It's hard to even understand, right? Richard, let's talk about that. You were only there 6 minutes?
Yeah, it is so hard to comprehend. And, you know, again, I want to interject something because something's popping my head. And I just want to mention to anyone listening, and I might seem pretty calm and all that. I've been through 2.5 years of hell. I'm fixing to go to sentencing. If they really wanted to, they could sentence me up to 47 years consecutively or 20 years concurrently. I'm 63 years old. They're doing all this to us to cause you to have fear. But with God, there is no fear. Stand for what you believe in. Stand for your country. Stand for your Constitution. And everything will, in the long run, work out. I just wanted to mention that. Don't let my situation cause you fear.
Don't let his situation cause you fear, ladies and gentlemen. Let his situation make you desire to stand up for God, family, and country. Look, they deliberated for less than 2 hours, not even time to fairly evaluate the evidence, ladies and gentlemen. That's the problem that I'm having with this. This is a due process situation. But 4 misdemeanors and 4 supposedly felony charges, disorderly conduct. Now, how do you have disorderly conduct when you're walking through the Capitol talking to a couple of AP reporters? You're sitting down at the desk getting your photo taken. They're saying obstruction of an official proceeding. What did he officially obstruct? What proceeding did he go in the middle of, by the way? They say aiding and abetting. Who did he aid and abet in what cause? Entering and remaining in a, quote, restricted building. Wait a minute. The cops opened the doors. There's video proof that they were let in. He was also forced and pushed in, not choosing to enter on his own recognizances. That's another issue. What about the issue? They say this. They say a deadly or dangerous weapon. What? A stun gun that's legal in the area in which he was? They say parading, demonstrating, or picketing. I guess because he had a flag, he's a picketer. Demonstrating? Wait a minute. You got a right to peacefully assemble. Parading? How do you parade? By walking? Is that how you parade nowadays? Okay, they say in a Capitol building. And then they say theft of government property. So now an envelope on Nancy Pelosi's desk is government property that he dropped 27 cents on the desk for. Folks, you look at this, and I don't mean to be offensive. If it wasn't so serious, it would be laughable, Richard.
Yeah, you know, I want to – there's one you left out that I want to really talk about. The first, theft of government property. You know, on the stand Pelosi's secretary got on, and they used her for drama and effect, and she told about the horrible situation this caused her, even though she was nowhere. I don't even think she was in the building. But anyway, that just basically ruined her life and this, that, and the other. And she went on to say that, well, first off, she perjured herself because she lied about whether she walked or drove to the Capitol, which was our whole point on that was she knew something was going to happen. It was pre-planned, and we caught her on the stand with it, and nobody cared. And we've got video proof. But anyway, but the big funny thing is she claims that when she went back up to clean her room, that her desk was covered in my blood and the quarter was covered in blood. And she was so disgusted, she threw the quarter away. So she threw away that government prop. She's the one that stole the government property because I paid for it. And then she now here's the crazy thing. I had a nick on my hand. Her desk was not covered in blood. The quarter was not covered in blood. It was the most unbelievable drama and lies I've ever seen in the courtroom. So I just wanted to mention that. Okay. Now, here's the big one, though. After having charged me with 7 charges for over 2 years, they changed prosecutors. What happened at the very last minute, and we tried to get another stay of the continuance of the actual trial because of it. At the very last minute, they threw in a catch-all civil disorder charge. Okay. And that's the one they were really trying to nail me on, that and the 1512, because the 1512 is 20 years. The stun gun charge is only 10 years. They wanted to get the big one, so they made up the 1512 charge. But then at the very last minute, they threw in this civil disorder charge, which totally threw everything we had ready for the defense out the window, because we had to kind of start over and figure this charge out. But what this charge is, civil disorder is when you're working in concert with two or more other people. I was there by myself, by the way. To cause a peace officer distractions when he's trying to do his job. Now, the second part of this, which is really crazy, also you have to have caused the loss of income in interstate commerce within the area. In other words, my being there in the Capitol had to have caused retail business, I guess retail business, a loss of income. Well, the example they were using was a grocery store 5 miles away that closed early because their customer base that particular day was, I don't really know what they were trying to say. Basically, but to find me guilty of this, I had to call. And then, of course, they brought in the manager of the bar of the restaurant I stayed, I mean, of the hotel I stayed in, that bar area, and said that basically they had to close up an hour earlier the night before because things were too rowdy. But, of course, in court we find out it was a regular thing for them to close early. So this whole civil disorder charge they threw at the end, I think they were – maybe at that point they were afraid I wouldn't be found guilty of these other bogus charges. And so they threw this civil disorder in, that, and basically so I'm getting – that's 5 years because apparently a bar closed an hour early the night before. That had nothing to do with me. And a gross 5 miles away didn't sell – enough hot dogs. I don't know.
So the bottom line, though, is your sentencing is coming up, and really it's been a violation of due process the whole time, the whole way through this thing, from the detailed instructions to the jury. You know, what about a fully informed jury that looks at it and goes, you know what, maybe Richard shouldn't have been in the building, but circumstances, hey, he was there to no fault of his own per se. You know what, he shouldn't have put his feet on the desk and called her a biatch. That's a little disrespectful, but hey, really, there's no harm, no foul here. Where are the jurors that understand a fully informed jury and understand, look, we've got to judge the use of prosecution wrongfully in this case as much as we need to judge the case itself, Richard?
Well, jury of your peers. So your jury is supposed to be of your peers, and your peers can be a very mixed group from one extreme to other. So when you put somebody in front of a jury that's extreme to one direction and already on the hunt and doesn't even take the time to read enough time, we can't prove they did when we weren't back there, but didn't even take enough time to read jury instructions, there's something serious. I mean, you know, they say justice is blind. Well, the blindfold is off.
All right, let's talk about your buddies. When you got separated from your friends, what happened to them?
At that time, I did not know. This was another crazy story. I guess they decided to go on back. Of course, we were already checked out of the hotel because we were going to go home after no matter what, you know, so we hadn't paid for another night. And I mean, so much chaos broke out after this that I don't know what happened to them because I didn't see them again. I mean, I got back to my truck and saw their truck was gone, so I knew they must have gone home. But basically, the crazy thing was I got outside while I was in the building, on top of everything else that was going on, I was told to leave the room. You know, the officer came in and told me to leave the room and told the reporters to leave the room, and I did. I followed their instructions, and I realized my flag was still there, so I tried to go back and get it. She yelled at me again, so I just left the flag because I didn't want to disobey. And I really wasn't trying to do anything wrong. But then I got out into the rotunda. I got maced really bad for the second time that day. I mean, so bad, I couldn't see. It put me on my knees. I had to find a way out. They weren't letting everybody out, even though they were claiming that they told everybody to get out. There were people, there's cops at the door not allowing people to leave. I couldn't see. I was holding on somebody's shoulder, and they were trying to get me and somebody else that was injured out. By the time I got outside, I screamed and yelled a little bit, threw a fit, like, you know, I was mad, whatever. But it was still First Amendment. And I proceeded down the Capitol steps to try to find my way home. Going down the Capitol steps is my first inclination of how crazy it really was, because I heard people coming towards the Capitol already chanting "Big O, Big O," which means before I was out of the building, they already put that picture all over the place. A couple with two small children walked up to me and said, "Ma'am, we're scared to go back to our hotel. We're afraid we're going to get jumped. There's still people there scared of everything." And I couldn't even see. I didn't have a shirt left. I was in rough shape from all the macing and everything, but I still walked them back to the hotel, made sure they were safe, didn't know where I was, finally found my way back to my truck. The whole time we were there, there's no phone signal. There were so many people there. So by the time I got to my truck, I had a phone signal.
And then we stopped you there.
Rang. It was my watch.
We were supposed to have Victoria White and others on the radio reporting live from the event. The reason we had on Victoria the next day was because we couldn't connect to her. The next day she reported she was forced into the Capitol as well.
Yeah. So anyway, and you know, it's kind of weird too, because I know all these other people. Some of them I spent time in prison with. That's a whole nother story. It's talking about DC Gitmo. And some of them I've become friends with, and this, that, and the other. But part of my pre-trial release and now my post-trial release until sentencing is that I cannot speak to anybody else that was at J6 that I'm aware of, or they could come just throw me back in jail. But that's, I mean, so, you know, it's crazy. So it makes it hard to coordinate any kind of defense plan with other people on what was going on with them, you know. But,
all right, I want to skip the break. Richard, I want you to continue, and I want to ask you then, what does the future hold for this? Do you need to get different attorneys? What do you? Can this be overturned? Is it just a matter of how much time they're going to force you to serve? Yeah. What are the options at this point?
Well, Well, right now, we're in a big battle over, with the prosecution over, you know, we all have to offer our you know, there's a probation office involved. The prosecution is sending motions to the judge to put me away for this long and that long, and we're saying, of course, you know, I was in prison for 4.5 months, and we've got all the proof here. Even if you're not looking at it, Richard Barnett should be able to just go home and continue his life, which isn't going to happen, I'm sure. So the battle's raging now on paper behind the scenes before we actually go to court on May the 24th. We cannot put our appeal in until after I've been sentenced. So some law that I don't like, I can't go ahead and do it now. So we'll be putting an appeal in the Supreme Court.
Let me stop you there. This is the due process violations I'm speaking of, ladies and gentlemen. Look, he can't even put in his appeal, put in his objections, put in until after his sentencing, after he's already served 4 months in jail. So much for a speedy trial. So much for due process of law, Richard.
Yeah. So even if I win my appeal, I'm still sitting off in prison somewhere in the meantime. And let me explain, I'm not the only one. Obviously, there's tons of us going through this. My heart breaks for some of the other ones, because I got out after 4.5 months, and there are still guys over 2 years later, some of them still with nothing, misdemeanors. They're still in prison pre-trial. You talk about no due process. One of my favorite shirts to wear around here when I do get out, I'm under house arrest right now with an ankle bracelet on. And I'm a picker, if you know what that is. I go out and pick antiques and old trucks and stuff and resell them. That wasn't what I was before, but it was my hobby. I had to try to turn it into business because I'm so docked. So I can actually travel for work 50-mile radius. I can't actually go in a restaurant or anything. I can go to where I'm picking, and I can get gas, and that's about the extent of it. So I'm very fortunate in a certain way. I mean, it's totally wrong, but we still got guys baking in prison up there. I mean, I know one who's just had a baby right before all this happened. It's 2 years later. He hasn't seen his son. They use all kinds of excuses. For a long time, they were using COVID, that they couldn't see their wives. They couldn't see their families. They couldn't see their attorneys. There was abuse. I've personally been shackled and handcuffed and slammed head first into the concrete floor for no real reason. I was in prison, charged with inciting riots falsely. I was thrown in the hole every other day. I mean, and I'm not even one of the worst ones. I mean, you know, I watched them take a guy I knew in there, it's a friend of mine now, in the middle of the night down to another cell and covered it all up and beat him to the point he's blind in one eye right now and has seizures the rest of his life. Brian Stansel's his name. Ryan Stansel, I'm sorry, you can look into that. There's just, you're right now, listener man talk to you, just trying to pick and choose what he's saying. It's got 2.5 years worth of stories, you know, so. And a devastated life. I mean, I've barely been able to earn a living. I've barely can pay my, I'll never even know if I'll ever get my fraternity paid off. If I do go away, I've got a disabled wife that had had a heart attack not long. And I'm not bitching. I'm just telling you the reality of life so you guys will understand what's really going on. This is crazy. And
yes,
also,
let me ask you this. How many people have been fair in the media to let you say what you want to say and let you tell your side of the story?
Actually, I did a really good, there's Tucker Carlson put out this thing very early on called Patriot Purge parts 1, 2, and 3 right here on my property. The whole part 3 is me. So Tucker, of course, now you see what happened to him. And, Greg Kelly has a couple of times, but not too much depth. And of course I've got, you know, obviously the podcasters that don't have big followings or anything have heard it, you know, so I have throughout this always stood and told the truth. I haven't backed down. I don't really care what I care what they do with me, but I don't care what they do to the point that I will ever cave. They've offered me all kinds of plea deals and tried to shut me up, but I'm one of these guys that I just believe the truth is the truth, and I'm not. This is my country, and I love my country. And they say, "Oh, you're destroying the democracy." Well, we're not a democracy. We're a republic of states. We have some democratic mixed in, but we're a republic of states with a federal government that's out of control, you know. So
all right, let me ask you this. I've done my very best to bring out the details of the other side of the story, to highlight what the claims are, to highlight the reality of the situation the best I can. But you know what? I don't even know enough to ask all the right questions because it's such a twisted, such a long story with so much behind the scenes. What have I left out that you need to tell everyone?
Gosh, you know, it's so hard because, believe it or not, even in my situation, there's so much out there, and we have covered most of it because the basic truth is that almost every bit of the truth is on video, and that's why they won't release the video. And we've got a big problem, guys. This isn't just, like I said before, Democrat versus Republican. This is totalitarianism within our capital. This is good versus evil. And I'm going to say this for this reason. There are so many GOP. The GOP is dead to me. There are so many in the GOP that are rhinos that are siding on many issues. I'm going to back up for a minute to tell you, do you know in 2020, I got an antique cab over truck, 47 Dodge, painted red, flies a flag and all that. I drove it all the way to the Little Rock to the Capitol in 2020 and met a bunch of my state reps up there who all know me and supported me at the time. Now they're all running scared. And we sued Asia Hutchinson over the mask mandate. By the way, he's running for president. He's one of the biggest rhinos I know. He's a Walmart ass kisser, excuse my French. But my point is sometimes it's hard to be really mad at the enemy when you watch the people that are supposed to be on your side, like Kevin McCarthy, who took 15 friggin' efforts to end up being Speaker of the House because nobody really wanted him, but he finally, on a handshake deal, he agreed that, hey, if you will go ahead and to Gates, hey, if you go ahead and give me your vote, I'll pass this resolution where only one person has to speak up to initiate kicking me out of office or any speaker. I don't know how it's worded, you know what I'm talking about. And also, I will release the 41,000 hours to the public. Well, he didn't do it. And that's huge to us J6ers. You lied to us, and you're the Speaker of the House. Everybody says, we got to win back the GOP. I mean, really? What we need is America First, fresh blood candidates out there, and we've got to find a way to do it. And we've got to do everything as legally as possible. I still feel that way, you know?
Amen.
But when
sure.
I look at
Let me
the
ask you this.
On the-
Did Donald Trump take interest in your case, and have you had any contact with him?
No. And you know, that's a hard one for me because, you know, the day I got out of prison, April, whatever it was, 2021, late in April, after being in for 4.5 months, I was whisked away to a room in Baltimore because they told me as soon as I was out of prison, if I didn't leave D.C. immediately, I'd be rearrested. So I went to Baltimore and I was interviewed by Greg Kelly, very first interview I did out of prison. And they asked me that question, so that's why I'm bringing this up. And I'm going to give you the same answer I gave them. And I should back up before I say this. I did not go to D.C., and this is going to shock people, for President Trump. I think Trump's a wonderful man that did wonderful things for our country. I think he saw the swamp. He was trying to wipe out the swamp, whatever. But I'm not a Trumper. I'm a constitutionalist that loves my country. I'm very middle of the road. And so I put my pants on one leg at a time, and so does he. We're all humans. The only person I revere in that regard is Jesus Christ. So that being said, I asked Trump in that interview, they asked me, do you have anything to say to Trump, or do you have anything, an opinion on Trump? I said, no, I told them just what I told you. However, I said, President Trump, I do have questions for you. If you would like to call me, I would love to discuss it. And so I'm offering the same thing here if he hears it. You know, I have been in touch with people that are pretty close to Trump. They have showed their support, but have I heard from him directly? No. And he's in quite a mess himself, so I'm sure, you know, that.
Yeah, but there's an example where Donald, you know, Donald should be supporting those who are wrongfully being prosecuted. And my problem isn't, hey, you know what? You probably shouldn't have taken the envelope. You probably shouldn't have walked in there and put your feet on the desk for the great photo op around the world. You know, but those are mistakes, folks. They're not actions of criminal activity, and they're certainly not prosecutable. Richard?
Yeah, and I agree with you on that as far as Donald's concerned, you know, maybe he should have stepped up and said more. And I think in doing so, there's also that risk that they would have started, which they're doing anyway, insurrection charges against him. So many people don't understand that he just said go to the Capitol and, you know, he expects us to go peacefully protest. Like I said, there's a pamphlet that was already out by Stop the Steal that had space to be there, you know. You know, bless the man. I'm not going to really hold too much against him. But yeah, I honestly do. Part of me actually does feel like he should have stepped up and done more, said more earlier, you know, earlier in the game. But at the same time, he owes no public office and can't do anything anyway. The ones like,
yeah,
McCarthy,
but he has money office. And he could help with, he has money and he could help with attorneys and he could help with educating on public opinion like I'm doing. There's a lot he can do. Let's not get him off the hook so easily.
And I agree with that. Hey, and why do you mention that? I usually don't do this, but I am now, because I'm going to tell you what, I don't know what's going to happen to me or if I'm going to be in or out. I know I'm going to be in, but I don't know what the whole situation is. So I hope you don't mind me doing this, but I do. At the very beginning, somebody started a GoFundMe for me, and it got up to, like, I heard $300,000 and GoFundMe's woke, and they shut it down and supposedly returned everybody's money. I didn't see any of it. And you can imagine 2.5 years of barely working, trying to take care of your family and know there's money put back for them to somehow survive on. And you get the idea. I do have a Gives and Go, and it's Gives and Go / Richard Barnett. You know, I don't
hold on. GivesandGo.com/ Richard Barnett, right?
That is correct. And, you know, I usually only bring it up, but I'm not that concerned about me. I am concerned about my family and their well-being. If I'm gone, I am the sole breadwinner and already behind on many things and probably owe hundreds of thousands of dollars to attorneys and everything else. So if it's in your heart to bless me, I'd greatly appreciate it. And if not, I understand. GivesandGo.com/ Richard Barnett.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Richard, we sure appreciate your time. What we want to do is have you call me and keep me up to date on what's happening, and we'll have you back. I'd like to have you back right before your sentencing, see what's changed, and then right after to get kind of a breakdown from a real source, if you will, about what it all looks like for you. You know, we've got a lot of political prisoners in prison. That's what they've turned this into, tragic but true.
It is. It's very good way of putting it. Tragic but true. Absolutely.
All right, Richard. Thank you, sir. We'll have you back soon.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you for everyone for listening.
GiveSendGo.com/ Richard Barnett. When you go there, ladies and gentlemen, I know people are scared to donate, but listen, it's the place where help and hope go hand in hand. That's the GiveSendGo idea. They won't back down, I don't think. I think they will have some guts to stand up and let Richard get the funds that are for him. This is critical. We need a prayer wall, ladies and gentlemen. We need to stand up. We really need to get involved in meaningful ways. GiveSendGo.com/ Richard Barnett. Look, I wanted to let everyone know the whole story. How many are letting you hear directly from Richard himself? Huh? This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Lance Pry. Afghanistan's ruling Taliban has killed an ISIS leader suspected of planning the 2021 suicide bombing at Kabul airport that left 13 American service members dead and over 170 Afghans killed. Officials did not identify the suspect's name, but said he was a leader of the ISIS Afghanistan chapter known as the Islamic State Khorasan, or ISIS-K. The report indicates he was killed earlier this month. The choice between Biden and Trump in the 2024 presidential cycle is a no-go for a large number of Americans.
A new poll is finding that a majority of Americans don't want either President Biden or former President Trump to run in 2024. The Reuters Ipsos poll found that 45% of Democrats don't want Biden to run again. That's compared to 34% of Republicans who say the same thing about Trump. Overall, the poll found that about two-thirds of all respondents don't want either to run in 2024. I'm John Schaefer.
Senators Angus King and Lisa Murkowski will introduce a bipartisan bill today that would require the U.S. Supreme Court to create its own code of conduct within a year. This after Justices Clarence Thomas and Neil Gorsuch failed to properly disclose their financial activities. King said, "It's pitiful that we have to introduce this bill. It's pathetic that the Supreme Court hasn't done this itself." End quote. Less than a year ago, there were indications that the Chevy Bolt EV and Bolt EUV wouldn't be around too much longer. The whole fire issue really put a strain on sales. Yesterday, GM made it official. Production for the Bolt EV and Bolt EUV will stop later this year. NBA's Phoenix Suns are heading to Denver and the Western Conference semifinals after beating the Clippers 136-130 in Phoenix. This is USA News.
Meet Joe A,
hi.
Joe B,
hello.
And Joe C.
What's up?
Three everyday Joes perfecting their banking with Chase. Joe A is locking his lost debit card with the Chase mobile app. Joe B is cruising toward his new ride with AutoSave. And Joe C's Chase banker is helping him budget to go back to school. Tools that help protect. Support for what's next. One bank that puts you in control. Visit chase.com/checking. Chase, make more of what's yours.
Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Messaging and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank, N.A. member FDIC.
The following is a message from the future, sent by Jamie from Progressive.
Back in 2023, you could get help from Progressive online, through a mobile app, or over the phone. But here, in the future, we can communicate with you through telepathy. Now, I don't think anyone in 2023 has mastered telepathy yet, but if you have, then you can totally read my thoughts right now. And yes, I did leave the oven on. Wow, you're good at this.
That was a message from the future. Get the help you need today with Progressive.
Do you smell smoke? I really should go.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers.
Give, send, go, ladies and gentlemen, the number one Christian site to kind of help people, deal with these things. Listen, the number one Christian free web fundraising site. Now, that's really interesting to think about, folks. Well, here's the deal. Richard raised over $300,000 when it was on GoFundMe. Now he went to the other site because they basically stole the money and said he couldn't have any of it. Well, now givesendgo.com/Richard Barnett. And sadly, he hasn't raised very much money there. We need to help this guy. Well, interestingly enough, the big takedowns have happened with Tucker Carlson, Glenn Beck. You know, they all left and, you know, all these big talk show hosts. They all end up becoming virtually nobodies. I mean, I'm not saying they're nobodies, but comparatively speaking, they're like one of us. You know, I get as many listeners as many of these guys that used to be massive rock stars once they go onto their own podcasting or have to do it their own way on their own. Hey, they're not any different than me, really, believe it or not. Well, anyway, I find this interesting. James Edwards with us. It's thepoliticalcesspool.org. We syndicate his show, an award-winning broadcast every Saturday night on your radio. Check it out, thepoliticalcesspool.org. He's a talk show host. He's an author and a whole lot more. We're going to talk about his situation in just a second. But you had the chance to listen to the interview. What do you think of Richard's side of the story, sir?
Sam, I got to tell you, and I was actually emailing you in real time. And first of all, it's great to be back with you, and always enjoy the opportunity. These regular stints going back many, many, many years here on Liberty Roundtable with you. But I was emailing you during that interview, and I said that as a regular listener of your show, you know, forget about being a friend, just as a listener. I was saying that was, I was just 20 minutes into it at the time of my email. I said, this is one of the best and maybe one of the most important interviews you've ever done on this program and on this network. Because this is a guy who really became iconic amongst the J6ers, as they call them. He and the Shaman, I think, are the two images you most remember from that. And this is a guy, my God, listen, you know, facing 47 years for these so-called federal crimes, as y'all well documented, and being taken away from his family. And at 61, 62 years of age, 47 years is a life sentence for, ultimately, now I know they dressed up the charges and they've got these official terms for them, but ultimately for walking into the Capitol for 6 minutes, sort of in the company of law enforcement officers, meandering into Nancy Pelosi's office. And I think this was one of the biggest takeaways from the interview. I mean, there's a lot of takeaways in the last hour and a half on this radio. But I had not heard before that there were members of the press who practically posed him there and asked him, hey, you know, you kind of act like you're in your living room. Just kick back and be relaxed and let us get a couple of pictures. By the way, what's your name? What's your address? What's your phone number? You know, all this so we can be sure to turn you over to the authorities. That's something. And then, out of all of the media attention and all the hell, I mean, really, his life is on the line here. He gets sentenced next month. His family may never see him again for this. And, of course, he was right to point out, not that it needs to be mentioned again, but the fact that the support groups of the regime were able, around this very same time, just months before, and 4 months leading up to the election, for 6 months, in fact, they were razing cities, literally burning cities to the ground. I don't think any of them, even if they were arrested, they were promptly released. I don't know if any of them actually went to prison for any of
that. Like the attorney for the Southern Poverty Law Center that got caught literally assaulting a building that the cops had a training at, and then he got instantly released, and they said, oh, he was there for reporting purposes. that kind of stuff, you mean? Okay, we digress, ladies and gentlemen, except for this. Listen. Barnett needs your help, folks. And as you wisely point out, due process was jettisoned in this case. This was an absolute setup, and everything points to it. There's video and evidence that the government literally created this intentional insurrection-esque. Really what they're doing, sir, is they're peddling the porn of fear. And whether it's Tucker Carlson getting shut down, whether it's Richard Barnett getting arrested, whether it's Stuart Rhodes going to jail, whether it's Sam Bushman being shut down on Twitter, whether it's our credit card, you know, donation capabilities being shut down, this is all designed to create the fear. We, the people, are about to have America wake up and realize the communists have taken over and stand up for godly, moral, constitutional principles. And to stop that, they're going to throw down and make sure that James is discredited, shut down. Sam, Richard, Stuart Rhodes, you know, everybody. They've even tried to slander Richard Mack and I about this January 6th thing, and we weren't even there, and we told people on the radio not to go, and they're still trying to act like we're part of that in a roundabout way. Folks, the peddling of the porn of fear is their mode of operandus, James.
It is, and you look at what's happening. I actually had a former Croatian diplomat. He was an official diplomat for the government of Croatia and served in many different posts or at many different posts for a number of years. His name is Dr. Tomislav Sunic, and he said what is going on in America right now is exactly what his family suffered through under the under communism in Eastern Europe when obviously some decades ago. He said it is the exact same thing of that you see in places where freedom doesn't exist, third world places, communist places. And you see a lot of things happening right now. And I just got to go back, though, and say this GiveSendGo/Richard Barnett, B-A-R-N-E-T-T. I was heartbroken to see that he's only raised $1,000. I mean, this is a guy who's very very realistically going to be separated from his family. As he mentioned, he is the sole breadwinner. His wife is disabled. They have a son, and he's going to be taken from them for this as a political persecution. Now, should he have received some sort of punishment, maybe a fine, maybe some probation, maybe something? Maybe. I mean, that could be argued. I'm not saying he should. I'm saying maybe, but a life sentence, you know, potentially for what he did? No. And this censorship, I don't know if the powers that be, Sam, feel particularly powerful or particularly vulnerable right now, but whatever is happening in a concerted effort, and it is happening in unison. The persecution of Richard Barnett and the J6ers, Donald Trump, very possibly going to be sent to prison. As we said, Blue State America arrested the president of Red State America. That's what you see in Banana Republics. Tucker Carlson gone on Monday. Obviously, a lot of people who have an opinion that differs from our elites are being banned from social media. It's all happening in a very intense constellation right now. The Tucker thing, Bigo.
Well, and they let the liberal go. What's his name? Don Lemon. Is that who they let go?
Yeah, that was also surprising. It was very weird.
Right,
Monday.
Now, the reason they did that, though, is so that the conservatives don't riot too much. If they let both sides extreme go, so to speak, in their view, they can kind of force everybody to the center and say, you realize we're taking over. And this is a strategic, in my opinion, surgical operation to take both those people out at the same time. That way you don't have near the claim that you had. Well, look, they're letting go of both sides of the aisle in that case or whatever else. They're playing games. This is really, in my opinion, a coup carried out to perfection in America. Communists are absolutely taking over, ladies and gentlemen. I don't like to say this, but it's true. And look, we the people have better stand up and do something about it. But the problem is, when they attack Sam, then nobody wants to talk to Sam because, man, Sam is a bad guy. Well, then you defund Sam, you defund James, you take away our money, you take away our influence, you make sure that you limit the reach, and then if you have to, you shut them down entirely. This is happening to all these different people. It's not Richard Barnett. It's the American Family Association. It's Liberty Council. It's Christian organizations. They even claimed that James Dobson, Focus on the Family, was a bad guy. Okay, but they're going for broke now because they know they have no choice or else we're going to gain the upper hand. The new media is taking center stage, ladies and gentlemen, like nobody's business. The problem is when we fight back, when you get deplatformed, say off Twitter, you go to something else, Gab, Truth Social, or some of these other, they don't have near the audience's promotions because they're so far behind in the ecosystem. They haven't had a chance to literally grow up and be an adult social media services, so to speak. Okay, but look, it's getting worse, and the proof is in the pudding. Something else happened, just as much as taking down Don Lemon and, quote, Tucker Carlson at the same time in the media. They took down several other people much more quietly behind the scenes that we're going to tell you about. James?
Well, that's such a wide berth. Who are we talking? There's so many. Are we talking about what happened to me on Monday?
Yes, we are. Same day, same mode of operandus. Just yours didn't get the press, right?
No, it sure didn't. A few sites have covered it, but not like what we're talking about with Tucker Carlson. Yes, it was a bloody Monday. You know, the thing that was interesting, I hear the music about Tucker, was that he signed off his Friday show saying, we'll talk to you on Monday. And come Sunday, he was fired, and he didn't even get a chance to say goodbye.
There's evidence he knew in advance, though. He gave a speech, and some are now calling it prophetic. He knew, interestingly enough. Quick pause.
Matthew 24:24 teaches us that the church is deceived today. Deceived Christians call themselves Judeo-Christians. Around 1900, Jews commissioned the Scofield Reference Bible, which transformed the Jews from Christian killers to the chosen people. Here's the truth. America is in the Bible. Revelation 21. Our form of government came down from heaven. Verse 3. The many Christian ministers at the Constitutional Convention sought God's will. The God-given rights in the Constitution were ordained by God. America is the new promised land for Christian Israel, and Christians are the true chosen people. True Israel is Christian. Listen to Jesus, quote, my sheep follow me, unquote, and, quote, quote, "You do not believe because you are not my sheep," unquote. John 10:25-27. The beast has transformed America into the woman mystery Babylon, Revelation chapter 17. For the complete Bible study, write to Christian Knuckles, P.O. Box 210813, Royal Palm Beach, Florida 33421.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Well, welcome back, everybody. James Edwards along with Sam Bushman. Sam giving me the privilege of bringing you back in from the break here on Liberty Roundtable. But yes, I mean, I guess the conversation could be called deplatforming and democracy. Whatever you want to call it, the regime is certainly consolidating its media. So on Monday morning, the same morning we found out that Tucker Carlson and the most popular cable news show in the world would no longer be, so too was I removed from Twitter. Now, I had been on Twitter, and I told Sam this sounds a little silly compared to the trials and tribulations that a guy like Richard Barnett are going through, but I do think it all ties together. I mean, they are silencing anyone, and it is to instill a sense of fear and foreboding amongst the target population, and the target population is anyone who expresses a diversity of opinion. But I'd been on Twitter since 2016, and I'd never once received even a prior warning. So this wasn't my second or third strike for so-called bad behavior. It was an online assassination, straight to permanent ban. No reason was given. Now, anybody who's ever listened to me on the radio, anybody who's ever heard me on Sam's show, and I'm on here at least monthly, I try to conduct myself professionally and present the issues and our arguments responsibly. I never quarreled with individuals on social media. I never used profanity or crude rhetoric on the platform. So by no reasonable standard of measurement could it have been argued that I violated even the most ambiguous terms of services. This was just another case of censorship. And it wasn't anything new. I had been banned from Facebook and PayPal back in the mid-2000s, a long time before it became really commonplace for dissidents to be banned from everything. And at this point, I pretty much have been banned from everything, including Amazon and YouTube. And for what? Again, if you hear me on this program, this is the way I conduct myself publicly and privately. But I have never known any other reality than this sort of censorship. And because I had been deplatformed from so many places, I was relatively late to join the Twitter party. I didn't even join Twitter until the fall of 2016, just a couple of months before the election. I want to say August of 2016. And within weeks, Sam will remember this, Hillary Clinton was featuring my Twitter account in a campaign ad against Donald Trump. Now, my program and my work on this radio network had been covered by and targeted by many print and broadcast media outlets in advance of my tenure on Twitter, but there was just no doubt that Twitter boosted my audience and led to greater exposure. And by the time my end came on social media this week, and again, for no reason, no appeal, they say you can appeal and appeals will be decided within 48 hours. That was about 72 hours ago, and I haven't heard anything, and I'm not going to hear anything. And by the time that they took me down, my tweets were routinely gathering tens of thousands of views and sometimes even hundreds of thousands. We had one last month, and Sam talked about it, that had in excess of 1 million views, which is, in truth, I think probably the reason I was taken out. But that when it comes to arbitrary censorship like this, if anybody who has been through it knows, the interesting thing is that you just never know when or why you'll be taken out. And I certainly don't think I did anything to bring this upon myself in terms of attacking or targeting individuals.
Well, you stood up for God, family, and country, and that's it. You know, hey, there you go, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, but it was random because, I mean, I wasn't doing anything different. In fact, when I was banned on Monday morning, I hadn't even posted since last Saturday.
Yeah, but it wasn't random. It was takeout Monday, sir. A couple public, many, many more privately. But the big takedown is happening, whether they literally kill you on the streets or whether they take you down on Twitter or whether they defund you on whatever. The great takedown of all conservatives, anybody Christian, anybody that promotes God, family, and country, they have in their sights. The American people idly, ignorantly stand by, focus on bread and circus, while the rest of us who are standing up for liberty are being taken out by the masses. That's what's really happening. It's not random at all, James.
Well, it wasn't random because I'll tell you this. It seems random because, again, there wasn't like an incident or a post that I had just put up and they'd get, you know, oh, wow, I shouldn't have done that, you know. But in the meantime, there are a limitless number of minority racists whose accounts are littered with profane, hate-filled rants that call for the actual murder of white people. But, of course, they're safe. But it wasn't random because several people who I know and who are regular guests on my program, and who am I talking about? I'm talking about the aforementioned Dr. Tomislav Sunic, a former Croatian diplomat, had a position within the Croatian government. He and several others were banned at the exact same time as me, Monday morning, exact same time. So at some point, somewhere, there was a list that got handed down to somebody at Twitter, and because we all went out together, and there's just, you know, that is, there's no coincidence that large for everybody
Amen.
To
and
go out
the
same
And the ultimate question
time.
Is, was Elon Musk involved? Remember, he was the guy that was supposedly going to take it back and prevent these abuses from taking place. Next thing you know, he sits down with Kevin McCarthy and that whacked out Jeffries guy or whatever it is, and then instantly, hey, you know, Musk is kind of silent now there, but has he been compromised and is he participating? I don't know. I don't have proof, but I will say this. We can't appeal to Elon anyway easily, can we?
No, I don't, there's no way. And again, did Elon Musk personally push the button? Did he even know about it personally? Who knows? I mean, it could have been some Twitter, you know, anonymous Twitter employee from the previous regime who caught wind of it. But, I mean, the fact that it all happened together, if it was just me and not, you know, dozens of people who I know who it happened to at the same time, I would say that's, you know, a little more, that's a little less questionable. But
the other interesting thing,
we won't
know.
They
don't say temporarily, though. They also say permanently, right, which I find
fascinating. It does say permanent. And, again,
there is no adjudication for you, my friend. There is no tell
the
side of the story. You're just done.
For people who have called for violence and for people who have done things that legitimately violate the terms of service, even they on occasion will get a temporary suspension where you kind of you're getting a rap on the hand. You're learning a lesson. And I've seen these screenshots where, you know, they're gone for 7 days or 4 days or however long the punishment
is. Yeah, I was only gone
for
a year until I decided to go ahead and take down a tweet and give Elon a chance.
Well, but here's the thing about it. I mean, and people are, you know, giving some words of encouragement, saying it's a compliment to be banned and verification that you stand on truth and courage. And you know, sure, at least there's that. But, I mean, you're talking about I lost 10,000-plus followers. That's 10,000 people just from Jump Street before they start sharing tweets and circulating them to their own following that are not going to be hearing about the work we're doing here. And that's going to be 10,000.
Did you buy a blue check mark?
I wish I had. Maybe that was the
maybe
thing.
Maybe they'll let you buy a blue check mark and bring you back.
Well, I'll try. But, I mean, it is, listen, I've got to say this. It is, it would be disingenuous for me to just laugh this off. It is somewhat maddening to build up a large organic following and try to do things the right way, only to have it evaporated by a whim. Now, I don't like to be violated any more than anybody else, but I also don't like this, Sam. I don't like for men to whine about things not being fair. Life isn't fair. There is nothing fair about politics and love and war and all of that. I do have an admiration somewhat for our enemies because they are ruthless, and I respect the fact that they play to win. This is, I think our people are still too nice for our own good, still too noble. If I were in control, I would certainly, and I got to say this, and I got to be honest about this, I'm not complaining about being banned. I'm making mention of the fact that it happened, and I'm admitting that it certainly didn't help me or do me any favors, but if I were in control of Twitter, I would be eager to do everything within my power to extract this woke agenda, this agenda of transgenderism and abortion and all of these things that I know to be evil by God, to be evil and harmful to all Americans. I would try to root that out from our society, root and stem. So I would do the exact same thing to them as they have done to me. And so for that reason, I can respect the action here to an extent. It doesn't make it right. It doesn't mean that it's justified, but this
well,
is a war.
I understand
one side's going to win and one side's going to lose.
I don't disagree 100%, but Elon Musk pretended he was different.
Yeah, that's right.
And now we're finding out that, you know, he's really not. Either he doesn't have control of his own organization, either it's happening behind his back and he's not aware, neither case are defensible in my mind, or he's in on it. It doesn't matter which. The fact is it's happening under his nose, under his watch.
Well, the buck stops here, regardless. Right? I mean, that's Truman. That's Truman. Right. The buck stops. You know, you could say, well, Elon doesn't know me, or Elon didn't push the button, or he might not have ever even heard of this. But we know that it was a concerted effort. We know there was a lot of people that were taken out at the exact same time that didn't. I mean, we're talking about a guy like Tom Sunich. He's a gentleman and literally a scholar. I mean, he didn't go on there and do anything to warrant this, nor did I. But at the same time, I think the teachable moment here, the thing I would want your listeners to take away from this is that in these moments where things like this happen, the takeaway has to be we cannot apologize for our positions, and we cannot behave during times of difficulty in a way that brings dishonor to our cause. If you face a challenge and you apologize or you recant or you turn away from your positions that you know to be right in your heart and to be right by God, then you don't solidify your standing as a man. And this is a pretty good line. And it was a friend of mine who put it, that great men are never made except through great trials, and that adversities aren't our obstacles, but rather our greatest opportunities to get better, to forge our character, to work harder, to become smarter, and to prove our worth. And so we should welcome them on that level. Now, I got to admit, and I want to say again, as I said earlier, whether it be something as trivial in the grand scheme of things as a social media ban, the sacrifice
well,
of blood and bone.
Let me stop you there and add this then, though. You mentioned that these people are ruthless in their agenda, and you got to respect them for at least they're true to form. We kind of melt down and capitulate, and we need to get some guts. Look. Folks, I hate to tell you this. They're just getting started. You ain't seen nothing yet about what these evil thugs, these antichrist communists, and all the other ilks, the same roads all lead to communism. Okay? These people who follow Satan, in my opinion, to which I'm entitled, these communists, these people, you ain't seen nothing yet to what they're capable of. They've been kind and polite because they're gaining ground by doing that. But you wait till they're forced to act. You corner the animal, and buddy, you ain't seen nothing yet.
You know, it's interesting, isn't it, Sam? When so-called conservatives had the upper hand in the 1950s, the hippies and the radical left at the time, they were all for freedom of speech. What are you afraid of? It's just, you know, the marketplace of ideas. We're for freedom of speech. And now that they have the power, what are they for? Not the freedom of speech, but outright naked censorship. And as I said, whether it's something as trivial in the grand scheme of things, and Sam, you were just saying this, as a social media ban, I mean, that's trivial compared to the trials to come. The trials like a man like Richard Barnett is going through. And so whether it's something like this or a situation when the stakes are much higher, you have to set an example for the greater good of our collective and our cause and not apologize and do what's right and serve the Lord and know in your heart that you are right. And if the rest of the world goes mad, and we are the last people to believe in the principles that guide this program and this network, then that'll be okay too. Obviously our numbers are have been well bolstered in the last several years in terms of people who are coming to our way of thinking. That's why I think you're seeing these lashings and these actions being taken by the system. But you know, the show must go on, and it's time to get back to work. Whatever it is, you get banned from Twitter, so you lose a relationship, you lose something in your life, you go to prison. Don't apologize for being right. At the end of the day, the only weapon we have compared to our enemies is the truth itself, and we cannot sacrifice that weapon.
And our own personal integrity and loyalty
That's
to the
right.
sacred
sure.
cause, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the last point I want to make is these people can be ruthless. We have our job to do. We're going to continue doing it, ladies and gentlemen. But make no mistake, this issue is really, as Richard Barnett wisely put it, it is good versus evil. It isn't politics. It isn't left-right. It isn't Democrat-Republican. It's none of those things. It is evil versus good. And they, ladies and gentlemen, have evil and wickedness all around us. This is my statement. Write it down. They have evil and wickedness all around us. There's no doubt about it. But God wins, and if we're on his side, so do we, James.
Amen, brother. And we do know that. We do know, and we can take some comfort and solace in that, in the eternal truths of that. But at the same time, we want to work during the time we've got on this temporal plane to make life better for our children and our descendants, and that's what we're trying to do, come what may.
LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net, Godspeed. Donate liberally, would you please? We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.